There are many different kinds of preachers in the world, but on Sunday mornings we tend to fall into one of two categories. One would be series preachers who group together different texts into a common theme and then speak to that theme for multiple weeks. The others are liturgical preachers who follow a predetermined three-year calendar working through the scriptures in a standard way. My siblings in Christ from South Killingly already know this, but I'll share with our Westfield friends now as well that I have historically been a liturgical preacher. And the liturgy now would have us continuing a journey through the Gospel of Mark. I know you haven't heard much from Mark in the last year, so I'll just plow on through, right? I'm really looking to avoid folks running for the exits, not to encourage it. So no, we won't retrace the steps you've just taken in the last year. Instead, we'll explore some scripture that maybe we don't talk about as much. That's our reading today from 2 Corinthians 12. And I'll be honest here, this is one I would typically avoid talking about because there are just certain writings that, well, can be really confusing. This one starts out of the gate with stuff that would make any current day reader's head spin. Third heaven, in or out of the body, what in the world is Paul talking about here? And the danger in starting this text the way it does is it gets us completely disoriented. Is Paul bragging about himself or isn't he? And just what exactly is the point here? So now that the new guy has you thinking, Pastor John trusts this guy to share some perspective? Let's try together to find and focus on just one important point in today's lesson. We've talked before in South Killingly about how there is a danger that in dense texts like today's, the headline can get buried. There's 9 verses we read today, and we tend to want to find the point in at least 5 of them, so we think we've got the main theme. Yet when we look at a single verse, it can very well be what we were supposed to learn all along. Paul spoke about having a thorn in his body, about the desire to remove it and the pleading with the Lord for it to go away. And then, there it is. The one verse we might have just glossed over before. He said to me, "My grace is enough for you, because power is made perfect in weakness." Hear that again. He said to me, "My grace is enough for you, because power is made perfect in weakness." Boom. Now there's a mic drop moment if I've ever heard one. And after having heard a year of Mark's viewpoint, it might feel a little awkward. You see, when we think about how the writer of Mark's perspective is one where you have to believe to receive, where only if your faith is so deep and so powerful it locks you into relationship with God, will God then bless you with happiness and take away the pain. This is so different. Paul looks at faith differently. With Paul, faith doesn't dictate whether we experience good or bad in our lives. Instead, what we experience are means to an end. Experiences are used to guide us toward fulfilling God's mission through our purpose on earth. Some of us are in a time of joy and happiness in our lives right now, but some of us are going through struggles. Some of us may even be asking God, "Why me and why now?" We may be wondering why we feel like we pray and we pray and we pray and our prayers feel like they're going unanswered. To that question, we're giving a very clear answer. My grace is enough for you, because power is made perfect in weakness. But what does that look like in our world? We're not Paul. We're not living in an early Christian world being born. We're here some 2,000 years later. How do I think about this now? We actually have some great examples to draw from. In a recent story for Christianity Today, author Amy Julia Becker from just across the other side of Connecticut shared an article titled "The Ministry of the Disabled." That's right. She said "of" and not "for." Becker has a preteen daughter named Penny. Penny was born with Down syndrome. And Amy, not unlike many of us, was concentrated early on what Penny's needs were, not necessarily what she had to provide for the needs of others. She has found with time that Penny has an amazing gift in a ministry of encouragement. As Becker states it, Penny goes out of her way to offer sincere and specific compliments, from praying and asking about the recovery of an injured relative, to sending notes of love to a neighbor sick with the flu. Penny focuses constantly on how she can make someone around her happy. After receiving a birthday card from her pastor, Penny sent a note back that said, "Your words brought tears to my eyes when you told me God loves me. He loves you right back." How many people of any ability take the time to remind us that God loves us? The Lord's grace is more than enough for Penny, because her power is made perfect in her weakness. And what about those we already have heard about? Fans of the movie Soul Surfer already know the story of Bethany Hamilton, the surfer who lost her arm in a shark attack that threatened to derail a budding professional career. Her story of overcoming her disability to return to surfing is powerful enough to inspire others. But her devotion to faith and mission have shown amazing strength in serving, including a mission trip to Thailand, assisting communities in recovering following tsunamis that devastated the island. The Lord's grace is more than enough for Bethany, because her power is made perfect in her weakness. And then there's the lesson shared by Dr. Jim Henry of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Dr. Henry is a true role model for me personally. And it's not just because in barbershop harmony circles he has accomplished a great deal. It's because of how he has learned how God uses us when we least expect it. In a speech he delivered at Harmony University in 2007, Dr. Henry shared this story. "During one meeting with a spiritual counselor, I mentioned to him that I had for years been carrying around a gnawing feeling that I had let God down. You see, when I was in high school, I was sitting in church as the preacher started talking about how God calls us to his purpose. All of a sudden, I was overtaken with the feeling that God was calling me to be a music minister. I even mentioned it a few days later to the preacher, who informed me that yes, he had happened to catch my face from the pulpit and could tell from my expression that God was working on me. But I didn't follow through with any training for the music ministry. I went to college to get my public school teaching certificate. Then I went to graduate school. Then I started singing with the Gas House Gang. Then I started directing the Ambassadors of Harmony. Then I became a college music professor. Before I knew it, my call from God was 20 years in the past, never pursued. I mentioned this to my counselor. He listened to my lament and then asked me, 'How long has your quartet been singing together?' 18 years, I replied. 'Where did you sing?' 'All over the world.' 'Did you change people's lives through your music?' 'I hope so. I kind of think maybe we did.' 'Did you sing for the Lord?' 'I didn't always sing about him, but I always sang to him.' 'Were you a witness for God during your travels?' 'I really tried to be.' Then he looked me in the eyes and said, 'Jim, you've been a music minister for 18 years. You've reached more people through your ministry than most church musicians ever see.' His words engulfed me, 'Your ministry.' And I started to cry. 'I have not called barbershop my hobby since that day. It isn't a hobby. It's a calling, a ministry.'" You see, Jim Henry's weakness of caving to a road that led him to performance and teaching rather than music ministry wasn't a failure. God used his movement away from traditional faith channels to deliver a powerful ministry anyway. The Lord's grace is more than enough for Jim Henry, because his power is made perfect in his weakness. So today, as we look at ourselves and where we are, what weaknesses do we see within us? More importantly, are we faced and focused on how they are shortcomings, preventing us from experiencing God's kingdom on earth? Can we start today with a different view? Can we allow the Lord's grace to be enough for us? Can we allow the Lord to make our power perfect through our weaknesses? Can we transfer our own pain into empathy to support someone else? Can we shift our struggles in financial security to guide others to rebalance the way they steward God's gifts in their lives? Can we look past what we lack and intensify what remains within us? On second thought, we absolutely can. The real question is, will we? Amen.